And turn in your Bibles, if you would please, to the Word of God, Genesis chapter 17. For any of you who may be visiting today or have been away, since I've been here, we've been doing a series of studies, messages on the names of God. He has many. We've looked at the one that appears in Genesis 1:1, which in the Hebrew is Elohim, which is the plural form of the God of strength. We've looked at Jehovah or Yahweh, which is the God of the covenant, the God who loves, draws near to us. And last week we looked at the word Adonai, which is the word for which we translate Lord with small letters in our Bibles, L-O-R-D. Today, El Shaddai. Listen now to the word as we encounter that name of God. Genesis chapter 17. Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord, Yahweh, capital Lord, appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Abraham fell on his face, and God, Elohim, talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you, Elohim, and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God said further to Abraham, now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you. And every male among you who is 8 days old shall be circumcised throughout your generations. A servant who is born in the house or who is bought with money from any foreigner who is not of your descendants. A servant who is born in your house or who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. Thus shall my covenant be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. But an uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." But God said, "No. But Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year." When he finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. Then Abraham took Ishmael his son and all the servants who were born in his house and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's household, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the very same day as God had said to him. Now Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. In the very same day, Abraham was circumcised and Ishmael his son. All the men of his household who were born in the house or bought with money from a foreigner were circumcised with him. Amen. So reads the Word of God. Well, as we read, Abraham had had his 99th birthday. Quite an amazing thing. We had an elder out in our church in Quinter, Kansas, by the name of Waldo McBurney. He just recently went to be with the Lord at 106. He wrote a book, The First 100 Years. 99. But the dilemma to Abraham was what had happened to God's promise to him. This is the fifth time that God appeared to Abraham, if you count Melchizedek in chapter 14, was 24 years since God first promised Abraham that he would become a great nation. Now he appears again and he says, "I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai." So, in our growing in our knowledge of God, we need to know Him by that name, El Shaddai. And if we look at this text, which I want you to look at with me, there are four expressions here which we want to examine. There are two pronouncements, one command, and one promise. Let's look at this first pronouncement. I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. Now, this term is used 48 times in the Old Testament. It's used 10 in the New, using Greek language. Mostly, this appears in the book of Job, interestingly enough. And in the New Testament, mostly in Revelation. Now, you remember from our first message, if you were here, El, for Elohim, refers to strength. So there's strength here. The question is Shaddai. The derivation of this is uncertain, and scholars are disagreed on what that means. The Greek Old Testament describes it God Almighty. And so that's the way it is translated here. I'll say more about that in a moment. But you'll notice here in this pronouncement that God takes the initiative. It's always important when you're reading the Word to find out whether it's a command, whether it's a statement, whether it's a question. This is a pronouncement. I am God Almighty. Isn't that the way we get to know God? Isn't that the way we get to know one another? I've referred to this before. My name is Ken Smith. Who are you? And you can decide whether or not you're going to tell me. Young people never tell you the last name. They just say the first name. But God makes it very clear here who He is. And the way we get to know another personality, be it human or divine, it's by revelation. It's by revelation. And this is the way God comes to us, the way He came to Abraham. Now, as I say, Abraham is now 99 years old. This promise that he would be a mighty nation had come to him 25 years before, when he was 75, actually 24. Sarah, his wife, was still childless. So there is a hint here that this word El Shaddai comes in terms of life-giving power. And I want to suggest that. That there is life-giving power behind this name. Such as John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Life-giving. Which means that when God appears with this name, He is encouraging our faith. Stop and think about it. I'm God Almighty. Now, what was your problem? What was your prayer? And that's what we read back in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Sarah received ability to conceive. Therefore, there was born even as one man, and him as good as dead. As the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. I am God Almighty. And it seems that He is coming to Abraham to remind him that when He makes a promise, He is able to fulfill it. Jeremiah prayed to the Lord and he said, Ah, Lord God, behold, by Thy great power and stretched out arm, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth. And nothing is too hard for You. El Shaddai. That's the pronouncement. But now, let's look at the command. You'll notice here that the word says, walk before me and be blameless. Now, that's not the only place that the Bible says this. At the end of chapter 5 of Matthew, Jesus said, Be ye perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. And that word means complete. Be whole. Be integrated. Don't be fragmented inside. But what do we do? when we are confronted by an omnipotent God. Well, the only thing we can do is believe Him and do what He says. Back in chapter 15, verse 6, that's what Abraham did when God appeared to him before. This is a key verse, by the way, in your Bible. 15:6. It's a key verse. Then he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. Quoted many times throughout our Bibles. So it's by faith that we come and respond to the living God. And that's what it says about Abraham over in Romans chapter 4. When Paul the Apostle is showing about how we're justified before God, he says, "What then shall we say? That Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, is found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. But what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." And so we're reminded here of the gospel, that it's by faith we trust and obey. Some may say, well, that mean you can just believe and go then do whatever you want to do? Pay no attention to whether it's sin or not? Obviously not. But faith is shown through how we live. Let me remind you of that, young people. Some people may say they believe in Jesus and then go out and live like hell. That's a contradiction. James says, "Show me your faith by your faith, and I'll show you my faith by my works." Is James suggesting, as Martin Luther struggled with, that James was saying salvation is by works? Not at all. James was writing to people who had come to understand they were now free from the law, they were saved by grace, but some of them weren't living very holily. And James calls them back to the fact that true faith involves a life. "Walk before me and be blameless." But the thing that comes to bear here seems very evident, and that is a lifestyle that is ready to wait for the Lord. Think of all those years. Abraham had waited for this promise. And I'm not surprised that he and Sarah got sort of uptight about it. Said, "Well, maybe we ought to take one of my handmaids," and as they would do in their years back there of harems, "you take her and have a child by her, and I'll claim him as mine." And they tried that. And Ishmael was born. But God says no. No, it's through Sarah. And Abraham had a tough time with that. 99 years of age, with a wife that was 90. And you say, she's going to have a child? Anytime you think that you're being stretched to believe God, just come back and reread this. Just come back and reread this. Do you wonder that Abraham's faith grew weak? But God's purposes would be fulfilled. They would be fulfilled. So he waits. And that may be one of the reasons why this word El Shaddai appears so many times in Job. Because Job, who had that terrible experience of being tested by the devil and wondering why, what have I done wrong? And he becomes an example of a person who may be tested and tried by the Lord, not because he's done something wrong, but because God wishes to be glorified through it. And sometimes that happens in our suffering, brothers and sisters. We wonder at times, how? How could this happen to me? Why to me? Why to us? I'm El Shaddai. I have a purpose, and I will fulfill it. So this name God uses to recall our position of strength, really, in Him. And we're called to endure. And some of you are enduring some pretty tough things. Do you know Him as El Shaddai? God Almighty. There's nothing that you or I confront that He isn't able to handle or that He hasn't brought to pass in His providence. But now He says, your name shall be called Abraham. That's the second pronouncement. Verse 5. No longer shall your name be called Abram, father, but your name shall be Avraham, father of nations, father of multitudes. And here's the renewal, in a sense, of that covenant which God had established with him earlier when he told him that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. The father of multitudes. Our father in the faith, by the way. Well, Abraham says, how about making it Ishmael? He loved his son. God says, well, I'll make a great nation out of him. But he will not be the one with whom I establish my covenant. Now this word, Abram and Avraham, in the Greek, or rather in the Hebrew, the only difference in those two is the letter Keth, which some have suggested involves breathing or the spirit. That God was going to do something by His Spirit. And that's the way to fruitfulness, after all. It was the power that was appeared at Jesus' birth when the angel said, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, Mary, and what is born of you will be holy. And will be called the Son of God by the Spirit. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit. So this name of God is used to confirm His covenant as done by supernatural power. Let me say something a little more about this word Shaddai. Where this is used in Scripture seems to be almost entirely involving the idea of fruitfulness and multiplication. And one of the interpretations of this word, Shaddai, comes from that background shad, which in Hebrew means breast. The idea of life. And it seems to be that this term in Scripture is not just given as God who is the God of the battles, or the God of creation either, but the God of fruitfulness, the God who brings new life. And so it would happen to Abraham. This name of God is used to confirm his covenant. And it's done by supernatural power. Now, we live in a culture that knows so little about supernaturalism. In fact, it's probably not in many people's vocabulary. We think like materialists. And we're being crowded by the scientific method as though it is not biblical, or rather, it's not scientific to believe in supernaturalism as having anything to do with the created world. We need to recapture this word El Shaddai. It's also a day in which we shun the idea that fruitfulness is from God, and we put to death millions of children. You think we as a nation deserve to be blessed? God bless America, we sing. Maybe we ought to have a second verse that says, God forgive America. El Shaddai. Your name shall be Avraham. And we are the fruit today. Those who are followers of Jesus. Now just quickly look at verse 8, because he says, I will give you the land. I will give you and your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, the land, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Now, Zionists, of course, take this to mean the restoration of Israel today. And, of course, there was a great celebration in 1948 when the State of Israel was formed after World War II. It's still sitting in a bad light with the Arabs. But if you look down through this passage, I won't take time to take us through all of them, but you'll find it over and over again in this passage. 7 times he refers to his covenant, which would involve the land. And that was the vision that Hebrews tells us that Abraham had. But I want you to look at one text. We referred to Romans 4 earlier. Look at it again. There's a review here of God's institution of this name with Abraham, his being accepted by faith, circumcision. But look at verse 13. For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. The picture of his having Canaan, may I suggest to you that it was a paradigm that in Abraham's seed, Jesus, the whole earth would be his inheritance. And it reminds us a little bit, for those of you who were here last Lord's Day evening, we were talking about the meek who would inherit the earth. How is all that possible? That's all possible by God's working by His Spirit. And with that, of course, not only the possession of the land, but the dispossession of the Canaanites. If you go back to chapter 15, verse 13, God said to Abraham, "Know for a certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. But I will also judge the nation whom they will serve, and afterward they will come out with many possessions." And here's the victory. Yes, we go through difficult times, but God's promise is that His people would be set free. So the demons cringe at Jesus' commands. And so this name God uses to prove His design. His design in Christ for His universal kingdom. And I mention this here once again, because the church seems to have lost its vision. I think it was J.B. Phillips that wrote a book one time called "Your God is Too Small." I never read the book. I decided he was right. From the title. Sometimes people, you know, can get such a title you don't even need to read the book. But it's true. Our God is too small. And our vision, according to the Scriptures, should be compatible with El Shaddai. I am the one who makes you fruitful. I am the one who will give your descendants this land. I am the one who will dispossess the inhabitants. And He does that in a number of ways. But certainly the main ways He does that by their being converted. When we used to live in Wilkinsburg, and Peter, our third son, was small, we used to drive home and go up, turn on Graham Boulevard. Right on the corner, there was this nice house. But somebody bought that because it was the highest point in Allegheny County. Tore down that building and built this multi-million mansion. And I was talking to Peter one time, and we were talking about the kingdom and how we would take the territory. And I said, "Peter, who owns that?" "Well," he said, "Jesus." Well, I said, "How do you think we could take that for Jesus?" Well, I said, "Win the owner to Christ." And I thought, good enough. Fair enough. That's how we take the territory in this age of the Spirit. And I want you to know that that Spirit has motivated His people and motivated me. It's what's led to the growth of this church. It was that Spirit that led you to envision a church over in West Lafayette. I thank God for this presbytery where there's been a vision that Jesus Christ, El Shaddai, is able to give fruit. You believe that? You believe He can give you fruit? How many years has it been since you read the promises, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abide in me, so neither can you unless you abide in me. He that abideth in me bringeth forth much fruit. You've been barren. You said, well, I just can't do it. And nothing could be truer. But El Shaddai in you can give life. Maybe there's somebody here today and you're not sure whether you have the life that's in Christ. You may have grown up with the idea that you live in a Christian nation and you hope you're a Christian, but you're not sure. Have you come to Him and said to Him, give me life? Give me that verb. My life is dull. You know, I was reading a book last night. I'm trying to get boned up for a class on Christian education back at the seminary. I was reading this book. And according to this author, who was quoting some others, 60% of young people leave the church at age 16 in the United States. Why is that, brothers and sisters? Is it possible that we're giving birth to children, but they never come to the rebirth? The new birth? Walk before me and be blameless, he says. I'll do my part. Well, that's what we learn about God. But I want to conclude with this. Brothers and sisters, there is a tremendous need for a revival in the church in the United States. If you wonder, and I wonder, why so many things seem to be going askew in the nation, I want to bring it back to the church. We are His witnesses. And the church, we must confess, as far as the world is concerned, is powerless and irrelevant. Absolutely. We need a visit from El Shaddai to show that we're alive, to show that we really believe these promises, and to show the world that He is God. Join me as we pray for that. O Lord, we thank You in the name of Jesus that You are El Shaddai. You're the living God. And You're the one who gives life. You gave life to Sarah supernaturally, and yet through the normal means. And so You began to fulfill Your promise that would last for thousands of generations. And Father, we thank You today that You have been merciful to us and granted us life in Christ. But we beseech You in the behalf of Your church and ask, O God, that You'll bring new life, new revival, a new sense of who You are, a new appreciation of Your holiness and Your righteousness, a new discovery of the blessings for those that keep Your law. O God, please be merciful to Your church in this country and grant us revival, new life. And all the people of God said, Amen. Sing in closing now from Psalm 105. Selection A. Oh, thank the Lord, on His name call, His deeds tell peoples all. Oh, sing to Him, sing psalms to Him, His wonders all recall. You notice stanza 4, O you, the seed of Abraham, God's servant, you His sons, and all who sons of Jacob are His own, His chosen ones. So we're the ones that are called to give praise to Him. Let's join together in doing that as we stand 105A. Following the benediction, we will sing Psalm 131, stanza 3. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.
Be seated, please.